welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and I'm broadcasting live from the Thunderdome this week, guys.
You sound like you're talking through a tin can, Blake Buck.
I know, I don't have my good equipment, so I sound terrible, but you'll have to bear with me. Bear with me. We've also got William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
William Miller, what do I usually say after your name? I don't even know what you do anymore. You're just a clown, I guess.
Clown's fine.
William Miller, a clown. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going good. We've also got a secret special guest this week, Tom Barbalay. Tom Barbalay, how's it going?
Greetings, BDP listeners. I'm coming to you live and direct from the spare bathroom in our little apartment in sunny Las Vegas.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Before we start, Tom let it slip last night that he's...
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I cut that heat.
Oh, well,
that's not going in. And this is getting into the hour podcast, too. So more fool you, William Miller.
No. Well, you gotta leave this in, but Buzzer X.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be Buzzering X a lot more than just... But thank you very much anyway.
All right, this is your gaming news for Friday, May 18th, 2007. Alright, this week in the news, we've got Child and Second Life, You Better Bet Your Dungeon Dice. Square Enix unleashes a cornucopia of weeaboo gaming goodness. Puzzle Quest is jewel swapping on Xbox Live Arcade. And THQ breaks $1 billion in profits. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Okay, so Child in Second Life, You Bet Your Dungeon Dice. BBC reports that Second Life is being investigated by German police following allegations that some members are trading child abuse images in the online world. Now, for those of you who don't know, Second Life is like, if you took everything that you hate about the internet and you put it in a game, that's what it would be.
William Miller, when you started that sentence, you said, for those of you who don't know, I thought you were going to say child is where you take photographs of children.
Yes. So anyway, so there was an investigation that was carried out by this guy, Nick Shader, and he got a membership to Second Life, and he started going to these virtual meetings of these child and apparently virtual and real child was being traded. And there's this thing called age play, apparently, where, I don't know, people's avatars are of young children and they have with each other or something. So anyway,
that's like beyond retarded.
So Peter Vogt, the prosecutor in this case, assured us that they're going to catch these dudes real quick.
Well, is it Second Life's responsibility? I mean, I guess it's their responsibility to police their own virtual world, right? But I mean, as the popularity increases and it is a free service, I mean, are they going to be able to keep up with these guys?
I think it's absolutely their responsibility to make sure that, I mean, they have the power to and probably will squelch this kind of activity. I mean, it's important that, you know, in a game like this, you can do pretty much whatever you want. But, I mean, this is obviously illegal, and they need to fix it.
Yeah, the question is where you draw the line. Is it, you know, because they're getting away with, like, anthropomorphic animal sex. They're getting away with fox. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually had some real animal fox in there.
What is it always about the fox? Whenever we refer to, you know, furries in Second Life, it's always fox.
Well, it gives me more to bleep, doesn't it? That Buzzer X is going to be very active in the first part of the show. Look, isn't this just a press release for Second Life? Aren't we just giving Second Life more publicity? Why did you pick this, William Miller?
I don't know. This comes as no surprise to me. Child in Second Life, duh. Everything bad on the internet is in Second Life.
William Miller just wanted an excuse to use the phrase dungeon dice in the headline.
Yeah, and I think any opportunity to make fun of Second Life is needs to be taken.
Yeah, but any press is press, whether it's good or bad. And the question really is, why do you need to be giving press to Second Life?
There's child baby!
No, I think this is just another covert press release by the makers of Second Life, Linda Lapp, to get Second Life in the news.
There's actually no child.
That's it, Tom Barbalay. Look, we needed to report on this. It's important, okay? obviously, you are condoning child here. I don't think we can accept that.
Look, I am neither condoning child nor condoning Second Life. I think both these components are wrong. It's all bad.
But Tom Barbalay does have a point. I mean, this pretty much is an advertisement for Second Life. It's like, hey, we got child now. Blam.
And if you don't like child, they're cleaning it up, so they get both sides of the market. I don't know. It just reads like a press release to me.
Well, it was an independent investigation. I mean, it was the BBC news correspondent guy going out and getting the.
What do you know about the BBC, William Miller?
That's true. I don't know a whole lot about the BBC.
The BBC takes press releases, dresses them up, and then releases them as child news. I mean, I'm very skeptical of anything with Second Life in the title.
Dude, next time I make a game, I want to spin it in a child angle instead of the BBC.
Definitely.
Square Enix, child cornucopia, go.
Okay, so Square Enix just recently had their big press party, and they have unleashed a cornucopia of Weeaboo gaming goodness. Now, some of you have definitely heard some of these titles. Some are new, and then some you might not have heard of. I've compiled a quick list here of this massive list of games.
Wait, Justin Fick, please. Tom Barbalay edits this podcast, and Tom Barbalay hates lists that are longer than five. How many of you sneaked in here? Are there like 13 games here that you're going to read out very slowly and our listeners are going to have to hear? Can you summarize this list down into like three games? Pick your three favorite, read them out, talk about them, go.
Now see, here's what happened with the list. Justin Fick was compiling this, and if you look at it in the wiki, you can tell where Justin Fick just stopped giving a shit about compiling this list and just started putting one-word descriptions of each game.
I like Dragon Quest IX. DQ8 plus 1.
It makes no sense. Read it quickly, Justin Fick, go.
Alright, so basically we have like 3 Final Fantasy 13 games, 3 Final Fantasy Tactic games, 3 Dragon Quest games, and then 3 games never heard of in my life, and Star Ocean 4, I don't even know what the f*** Star Ocean is.
Alright, so Justin Fick, I'm browsing over your list here, and I see this game, Itagaki Street or something. I thought that said Itagaki Street.
Dude, you do not want to go down that street.
Dude, it's like Monopoly, only with big, huge...
No, man.
No, see, you're a woman, and you got to go down the street and not get... That's the challenge in that game.
It's a platformer.
He's like on the... You know, you got to jump up on the fence. You know, he's on the ground trying to...
There's 2D sexual harassment elements.
Oh man, but these Final Fantasy Tactics remakes and new introductions are making William Miller pretty hot.
Yeah, I want to see more Final Fantasy Tactics, and it isn't like school kids throwing snowballs.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions on PSP. It's going to feature 2 new classes, Onion Knight and Dark Knight, and 2 new playable characters, and also multiplayer mode. Dude, it's going to be over with. My army of chemists is going to take you out, Justin Fick.
Dude, I'm gonna have all Onion Knights with calculator abilities.
Man, calculator, what a class that, wasn't it like, if you have like prime numbered stats, you get hit or something?
Yeah, it was like the most class, like you could think of, once you got their abilities, you just destroyed everything on the first turn. Battle over.
Are they all going to be released at the same high price? I don't want to play Ben Buck on this episode, but I was at a local discount mall and saw at least one of these bits of heat for being sold for just a ridiculous sum of money. So they're going to release them all for a high price. That's the idea.
Probably.
Yeah, a lot of these look pretty premium. Like all the Final Fantasy 13 stuff, the PSP remake of Tactics. The DS games look like all prime DS games.
Blake Buck learned an important thing about intellectual properties when I was at GameStop last week. I was looking around at some old Xbox games, and I see Star Wars Battlefront 2, right? And I say, oh, I'm going to get that. That game's been out for, 4 years now? It's probably $10. It was still $19.99. I take it up to the employee at the front. I'm like, what is this? What is this madness? $19.99 for this 4-year-old game. He's like, dude, it's got 2 words on the front, Star War. That means it's going to be $20 till the end of time. So, big IPs are still going to fetch a premium price. Alright, well, moving on. It's time for my article, and that's Puzzle Quest Blake Buck and Justin Fick's favorite game is going to be coming on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Dude, I just a little.
You know, when you say that, Justin Fick, I buzzer exit and no one knows what you're actually doing.
Wait a minute, you're gonna buzzer X Justin Fick on himself?
Oh, most definitely, because it adds mystery to the podcast. Now, you gotta add that little bit of mystery. That's the secret heat.
Wait, so they won't be able to tell whether I on myself or I all over myself?
That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea, Justin Fick. You gotta keep it highbrow.
Or what if I in my own face?
Exactly, exactly. This is the Buzzer X show, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, we got an email about that coming up, so just hang on to that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Puzzle Quest, already available for both PlayStation Portable and Nintendo DS. It's going to be coming out for Xbox Live Arcade. GameSpot, not Stomp, because I get those backwards all the time, had an interview with the Puzzle Quest dude. His name is Steve Faulkner. Sounds a little like Stephen Hawking. Maybe he's related. Anyway, some of the important questions they asked him, what made you decide to bring it to Xbox Live Arcade? Oh, this is all PR jargon. Oh, it's really a great platform, blah, 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 blah. Getting to the real meat, is it going to be a straight port, or is it going to be new content? He responds with, Xbox Live Arcade has so many great features, it'd be criminal if we didn't take advantage of all of them. So, you know what that means in my book? It means multiplayer. It better mean downloadable content. I want the works. I want Puzzle Quest out the face.
Well, I gotta say, when Puzzle Quest has multiplayer, Justin Fick has a problem. Justin Fick has just beat Puzzle Quest, and Justin Fick has not done a single thing in the last week besides play Puzzle Quest. In fact, it's gotten so bad that every time I feel bad because I'm not playing Puzzle Quest. Like, I think this is 45 minutes of jewel swapping that I could be doing right now.
Look, if it takes you 45 minutes, you're doing something wrong.
Dude, I take time to savor it.
Ooh, this is good. This is good.
Justin Fink has to spend a lot of time getting himself into the mood.
Tom Bartley, I'm sorry.
The listening audience is just seeing a string of buzzer X's fly in front of them currently. It's just natural speech. This is the Buzzer X episode, ladies and gentlemen.
It's because you're here. We feel the need.
I gotta say that all that puzzle questing, all that jewel swapping has resulted in what I would say is the ultimate unbeatable Puzzle Quest character. Like, I will beat anybody on turn one, guaranteed, with this character.
Look, I'm still getting beat bad in Puzzle Quest. I hadn't played it as much as you. What are the secret tactics?
All right, well, the secret tactics is you take the warrior class. The warrior has an ability called Deathbringer, where for every two red mana you have, you cast it and makes a skull on the board. So you just pump all your stats, all your levels into fire, cast that, and then just get equipment that pumps your red, and like the whole board turns into skulls, and you do like 500 damage. Battle over. Done.
When do I get that ability, that Deathbringer? What level is that?
Level 30.
Oh, I'm about to get it. Oh, I'm almost there, son. You better. I'm gonna somehow play you online and beat you just to make.
But dude, like, when I jewel swap, if I go first, and if there's a 4 and a Kai on the board of any color, the battle is over. It's done. There's no way to block it. Like, the other person didn't even get to go. So when this comes out for Xbox Live Arcade multiplayer, there's going to be a lot of 13-year-olds crying to mommy because I'm kicking their ass all over the place. I can't wait.
I'm ready for it. So Steve Faulkner goes on to talk about downloadable content. He says that role-playing games are a great genre for content download, monsters, quest items, spells, etc. Oblivion has been fantastic with the content they made available. There's no reason that Puzzle Quest couldn't make similar things downloadable, but of course we can't say anything now, blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, that's basically it. Puzzle Quest coming to Xbox Live Arcade. They're going to be adding a bunch of enhancements, probably online multiplayer. It's going to be ownage. So get ready for that. I would predict that to come out maybe the fall, maybe late summer. What do you guys think?
Not early enough.
All right. Tom Barbalay, I hear you've got something about our favorite company, THQ.
The favorite combination of companies that is THQ. THQ has broken $1 billion. It's the 12th consecutive year The GHQ's revenues have grown. The profits alone are $64 million. Now, for some quick math, that's profits at about 6.5%, which doesn't seem very profitable. But they're big titles. They've released apparently 8 titles that have sold more than 1 million copies. But their big titles include Cars, which shipped 8 million, and WWE SmackDown vs. Raw, which shipped 4 million. I mean, these crappy franchises just seem to be making them a bucket. And so licensed games, which includes those crappy franchises amongst others, account for 80% of their revenue. The CEO, Brian Farrell, expects that they're trying to push in their own intellectual property up to a third, so an additional 13%. So basically, to talk about other companies and get a sense of the size of THQ now, Blizzard is $1.5 billion, EA is at $3 billion, Take-Two is at $1 billion, and the question really is, how much of this money is coming directly from Blake Buck's piggy bank?
Look, I bought Saints Row last week, THQ, baby.
Look, I think a THQ, I think a stuntman. I think a stuntman, I think a burnout.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Look, baby, it's burnout. Look, everything has at least, everything has 2 degrees of separation from burnout. Everything.
All right, Zelda, go.
Oh, Zelda's a game. Burnout's a game.
That's weak. So weak.
Look, I didn't say they were good degrees of separation, but they're there.
Yeah, do you know who I want to see doing good though is D3.
D3, that's right.
Dude, Puzzle Quest, Earth Defense Force 2017, plus the name is D3.
Wait, wasn't Earth Defense Force 2017? Which one was that?
That was Aliens plus Space equals Ownage.
No, because we did 2 judgments that show, I think, and one of them was really shitty. And it had space and guns, and the other one was real good, and it had space and guns.
Do you listen to these shows, William Miller? Do you have a clue?
It was a port of some real old game that got remade, and the developers really wanted it to be good, but it wasn't.
Yeah, Vic, you did it. It was the same time you did Puzzle Quest.
Alright, yeah, Scourge Hive. It wasn't a port. It was just a really good, like, original IP idea that sucked. In fact, that's part of my jank this week, and I'm saving that power.
The BDP recap continues.
So yeah, D3 thumbs up.
Oh, one thing I noted for D3 also did Work Time Fun on PSP. Anyway, one thing I noted is that they canceled the PlayStation 3 version of Saints Row because they're gonna take all those dollars and put them in Saints Row 2 for a PS3 and Xbox 360.
Oh man!
So I guess the PS3 version's been canceled as of now.
Saints Row 2: The Reckoning.
The Rowaning.
Anybody ever play that game, Hunter: The Reckoning?
Negative.
No.
Oh,
I think you just stumped us.
Well, it's a zombie game, and you went around and you just shot. It was like, it was kind of like Gauntlet plus zombies equals awesome.
Oh, man.
It had like the worst cover ever. So I try and show my buddies, hey, let's play Hunter the Reckoning. And they're like, dude, that game looks like butt. We're not playing it.
Blake Buck, is Hunter your middle name?
Hunter is my middle name. That's right.
Hunter is his middle name, yep.
So everything with Hunter in it immediately gets some affiliation with Blake Buck.
The Hunter is short for Lady Hunter.
Oh, Blake Buck, you mentioned zombies, and that reminds me. I saw Hot Fuzz this weekend.
Oh, Hot Fuzz? Dude, you remember? Oh, I guess you don't remember, but I worked at a movie theater for like a week, and then they closed down because I ate all the popcorn. But in the time I was at the movie theater, I stole like a bunch of trailers, and one of them was Hot Fuzz.
Dude, that movie's awesome. You and I should have written that movie. Like, it's a movie that we would have written had we gone in that direction. It's,
oh man,
it's perfect. You got to see it. It's awesome.
Good deal.
Anyway, I digress.
All right, so THQ, let's wrap this up. What we got left?
I think one of the things that's worth mentioning in this article is that they're planning 11 games for the Wii. But the catch here is including some original content exclusive to the system. That means 10 out of them 11 games are going to be ports, and they're going to be
William Miller, it contradicts what they're saying about saving mass market brands for the Wii. I mean, there are a number of contradictions within this press release that made its way onto the internet, and my feeling is that is one of them.
Hmm. See, I'm smarter than I look.
Who's that? Wait a minute, hang on. Blake Buck has some dude who works at THQ's business card in his pocket. Wait, who is this guy? Here we go. THQ. Corey Seifert. You remember that dude? He's the associate producer at Chaos Studios. You remember that guy?
Is this the IGDA? Went at the IGDA party?
Yeah, he was at the IGDA party.
Have you washed the shirt since New York, Blake Buck? From that, are you wearing the same shirt that you were wearing?
Shut up, Tom Barberley. Anyway, though, I was in EB shuffling through my wallet trying to find my EB Edge card the other day to save my 10%. And on the counter falls THQ Corey Steffert's, I don't know what this guy, who he is, but we should look him up and get him on the show. Remember that was the guy who was working on some Medal of Honor thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I was really drunk. I don't remember much.
See, my mom saw that video, and she's like, Blake, you must have been real f***ed up at that party.
And for people listening to this podcast that didn't get that, Blake Buck's mother used a really nasty word. That's why it was funny.
Look, all you heard was blanked up, all right? You can figure it out.
Having seen the video, you should be able to figure it out, listening audience.
Blake Buck was not drunk at all at that party because they ran out of beer. I got there late and I had like one beer and they ran out.
They did run out of beer.
Dude, we were the reason they ran out of beer that night.
Yeah, me and Justin Fick, we had like 10 or 15 beers between the two of us.
Oh, please. Wade Miller, if you had 15, Wade Miller can't hold his liquor like a man. Blake Buck's real big, so his alcohol tolerance through the roof.
And Justin Fick don't give a one way or another. Justin Fick plays drinking games to lose.
Unless it's Contra, and then you win.
Yeah, losing is winning when you're playing Contra. I don't even know what that means.
All right, so we got anything else on this THQ heat?
It's time for releases.
All right, this week in releases, Resident Evil 4 on the PC, ? Release date, May 15, 2007. Resident Evil 4 takes you on a secret mission to a mysterious location in Europe where you must fight not zombies, that should be in quotations, in an attempt to recover the president's daughter.
Are you a bad enough dude?
No, I was just thinking, is this the bad dude's plot? Resident Evil 4, fantastic game, but I've heard the PC version has some terrible graphical problems.
Blake Buck, William Miller, Tom Barbalay, I have a confession to make. That Justin Fick has never played Resident Evil 4.
Whoa.
You have missed out.
Ever.
You have missed out, my son.
Well, Tom Barbalay joins you in that club, Justin Fick.
You guys are lame. Look, Resident Evil 4 is easily the best survival horror game ever made. Fifth or sixth degree. Nothing else even comes close. It is awesome.
By several orders of magnitude, it's pretty good.
Now, is this single sentence an accurate description of what Resident Evil 4 is about?
Resident Evil 4, the problem with Resident Evil games and all survival horror games, or at least most of them, is the controls suck. They use static camera angles to, like, increase suspense, you know, like, what's around the corner. But that doesn't really work well in video games. So you gotta drive your guy like a tank, you know, like, forward is forward no matter what direction you're pressing. And then, like, the controls have always been very clunky. Resident Evil 4, it brings a very kind of fluid action. It's almost like, you know, a God of War kind of feel to the survival horror genre, and it makes everything work so much better, and it's so awesome.
You know, me off about most survival horror games is that, like, the first act of the game is usually really good, and then you get that machine gun and it's
shoot zombies more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Alright, we got Spellforce 2 Dragon Storm.
That's the only reason I stuck this in releases.
What is this?
It's an expansion pack for Spellforce 2 Shadow Wars.
What is this? Is it not blatantly obvious what it is?
Dude, I love the phrase Dragon Storm. Because it's like it's raining dragons.
Is the soundtrack done by Dragon Force? We should ask Ben Buck.
One thing I want to tell you guys. So I was, you know, when that Marvel Ultimate Alliance just got some downloadable content on the Xbox, right? And I downloaded it, and I couldn't. You have to name like your team of guys in the game, and I couldn't remember. I remember I spent a long time on this name. What did I come up with for the name? I remember I spent like an hour trying to come up with it. I went to the menu and I checked it. Fight Force.
Fight Force.
Dude, next game title. That's what's going to be. Fight Force.
Fight Force. All right.
Fight Force 4000.
That's BDPE game number 3. Fight Force.
Fight Force. I like it. 2 syllables. It's just like Blake Buck. Blake Buck, Fight Force.
We'll make that one after and chainsaws.
Oh, that's a favorite of mine. I love and chainsaws. It's all about the and all about the chainsaws, but no one ever knows what it's really about.
Look out, Lumberjack. Here comes Lumberjane.
What's this business? Sounds like I'm back in the barracks. Do we all know what that's from now? Have we all Googled that? Or was it just me?
I don't Google anything Ben Buck says.
He's a cornucopia of that kind of stuff.
We should have a special cornucopia song. Like, we say that word quite a bit.
Oh, no, it's Tom Barlego on the cornucopia song. Come on, someone say it. Someone say it.
Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. Corn. It is cornucopia.
With Justin Fick, he can sing in tune. Come on, Justin Fick, give it to me.
Take me down to cornucopia.
That's it. All right.
That's all we got.
Atreian Odyssey for the DS, release date May 15th. Is that it? Atreian? Atreian Odyssey is a turn-based RPG from Atlus. It sounds like Atreyu from a Neverending Story.
That's what I was
saying. Look, baby. I'm right there with you, Blake
what a
Buck.
Stupid movie. What was the big like dog's name? It was like Falcor. Falcor.
Dude, what was the horse's name? Remember when the horse dies?
Oh God.
Oh dude, that was too much for my 4-year-old brain to comprehend.
Thorax. I don't know the his name was.
No, wait a minute. Hey, Simon. What's the horse's name? What? Oh, Artax. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Thorax.
There's an X in there somewhere. I knew that.
Thorax is pretty close. No, Artax. He sinks in the mud. I remember.
Tom Barbalay, what is this Touch of the Dead? Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped one. Innocent Life. What is this Innocent Life madness?
A futuristic Harvest Moon for the PlayStation Portable. Release date May 15th, 2007. Innocent Life, a futuristic Harvest Moon, puts you on a small island with different areas that have different flora and terrain, as well as a new cast of characters. Can anyone shed any more light on this?
This is Innocent Life, not to be confused with Second Life.
Which is quickly becoming Innocent Life.
Yeah, Second Life is not Innocent Life.
Or not only that, they made a version of Harvest Moon called Wonderful Life. So is this one not as good as that one? But I'm Blake Buck's a big Harvest Moon fan. Me and my girlfriend, we like to play it. I'm the boy. She picks the girl. I'd explain that. But yeah, I'm excited. This could be good. It could be good.
I never got the point of Harvest Moon, honestly. I tried playing it for the Super NES. I walked my dude out. I tried, like, hoeing, like, a couple of wheat or something. I was like, this is f***ing retarded. We're playing this again in my life.
I always thought Harvest Moon was dumb. Always.
I was like, where's my guns? Why aren't zombies attacking my farm? Where's the zombies and the guns and the and the blood and the guts and the...
Listen, son, it's just like that game, Get On to Mike, all right? It's all about unlocking stuff and getting more stuff. It's one of those games you just want to get more, and you get addicted because you want more. It's just like in, World of Warcraft. One more level. I got to get one more item, go to one more dungeon. Well, in Harvest Moon, you got to plant one more thing to build one more house, get one more chicken coop.
It's really ironic because this is exactly the type of interaction that Blake Buck has with his woman. All right, they get together, and it's a... And it's a feedback loop. I witnessed this feedback loop many times. They start buying each other things, and then they want to get the best of each other or something. They got to get all the codes. So they spend like $300 on stuff.
Now see, William Miller just has no idea what it's like to, you know, want to give someone something. William Miller wants to take.
Okay, Blake Buck.
He knows not, beauty. William Miller is a robot.
Justin Fick's gonna make Justin Fick Moon, where you have to build a farm that all of a sudden, then like after you're built like 5 chicken coops, the dead raise up from the ground.
Fick Moon.
And then the game starts.
It's pretty good. It'll be like tower defense, kind of.
All I'm saying about these, I would describe these games as progression addiction games. That's what Harvest Moon is. It's a progression addiction game.
That's a lot of syllables.
You come up with that all by yourself, Blake Buck?
All I said was a noise for you.
All right, we got Touch of the Dead for the DS, release date May 15th. Touch of the Dead is an FPS for the DS, which puts you in the role of Rob Steiner, a sole human in a jail full of zombies. Sounds like your game, just Fick. It's up to you to kill all the zombies in your path and escape to freedom. The game also has a Wi-Fi support for multiplayer action.
Lame. All right, it's time for judgment. All right, guys, this week for Judgment, Blake Buck downloaded the new Crackdown downloadable content for the Xbox 360. There's not one. There's not two. There's three different pieces of downloadable heat for Crackdown this week, guys. So first up is the patch. You get the patch, and you get all this heat. You can now reset the gangs.
Thank God.
It's, for those of you who don't know, let me just say Crackdown is a sort of a GTA knockoff, but you're a super cop. You can jump real high, punch real hard, shoot real far, blow up stuff. It's very extreme. And so it came out on the 360, I guess in February. And it's also got the Halo 3 beta, which is why a lot of people picked it up. Anyway, downloadable content came out for it this week. You can now reset the gang, so if you want to start the game over with without, you know, losing all your stats, you can do that. Orb hunting is now easier. They, like, made the radius, the sound radius of the orbs a little larger.
This is looking like a red list to me. It looks like you're going to be reading a list for the podcast listeners. Can we cut down the list reading, please, and just get to the pertinent points associated with these three things? For the listeners, I have a list of a page and a half worth of stuff.
Look, everything that I say, Tom Barbalay, is important. Everything.
Look, Tom, do we need to go back to that? Blake Buck, read your list.
All right, so basically, just to summarize this up, the patch adds a lot of stuff. Then they got the first downloadable content pack that's free. It gives you a cheat mode where you can get invincibility, unlimited weapons, spawn vehicles, ammo, all that sort of good stuff. You also got vehicle impounding. It's a little like a mini game where you drive cars to the garage and you unlock stuff. And finally, it's got co-op trophy sequences for you to do with two player. And finally, they got the charged pack, the premium downloadable content for $10, the Getting Busy bonus pack. It adds three new vehicles. It's got a buggy, a doom buggy, a vroom car, and tank. It's also got a new mode, street racing, new equipment. It's got like Homan rocket gun, this big mine. You can skewer dudes with this harpoon gun. It's got a lame minigun, a bunch of other stuff. Finally, they added a new game type, which with max agility, some rocket tag, all sorts of cool stuff. So this is an insane amount of content they've added in this game. Just a mountain of stuff they've added to Crackdown, and it's really extended the replay value of the game, and for the most part, all the stuff is free, with the exception of the new vehicles and equipment and those last few things I mentioned. The cons of the game is that some of the guns suck. Like, the minigun takes forever to power. Like, a solid 8 seconds or something. It's ridiculous. It's way too slow. Compared to the free packs, the $10 pack doesn't get you a whole lot of stuff. Like, it just gets you new... I mean, it's definitely worth the $10, but taken as a whole, as to what you're already getting free, you know, it's not as much. And apparently there's a bug that can erase your saves if you, like, go online. Which they said to do to fix the bug, or not fix, but prevent the bug, is to download the new content, start a single-player game, save, and then quit the game, and then come back in, and you won't have the bug. But you don't want your saves getting erased. So overall, Crackdown content, adding a whole bunch of stuff. It's fairly cheap, and you get a lot of it free. Thumbs up.
Now, I paid $10 alone for the harpoon gun. I saw the video of that, of the dude sticking dudes to his car with the harpoon gun, and then driving off a ramp with like 10 bodies flapping off his car. I was like, wow, this is like, that was genius.
Did any of you guys see the tank, the pre-expansion tank user hack or whatever, where I guess they picked up this big dumpster and they put it on top of a car and they drive the car around and the dumpster's invincible. In the car underneath it. And they'd stand on top of the dumpster and just shoot everybody. It was awesome. So this is a big brick driving around.
What they need to do is put the get on the mic together with the getting busy bonus pack so you can rap for all this stuff. I mean, that is the missing content here, you know? I mean, you've got the vocal skills, Blake Buck. You can be getting all the stuff easy.
Blake Buck, they need to make progression addiction games for XBLA. They need to make a get on the mic for XBLA so you can download new bling to win.
Dude, I'm ready for it.
But you need shooting cuts and get on the mic.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of achievements, too, for this game. Like, just for you're talking about shooting guys into a car and driving it around, there's an achievement for harpooning 10 guys to a car.
Nice.
So they got lots of creative achievements in that respect.
Great minds think alike.
So, yeah, thumbs up. Just Vic, what's your heat?
All right, so my heat is the latest XBLA release, which is Double Dragon. Now, I don't think it needs any introduction. Double Dragon was an old fighting game for arcades and NES, and it is now an Xbox Live Arcade. Now, I'm gonna get to the pros first, in that it's pretty much Double Dragon. You get jump kicks, baseball bats, dynamite, and you get to women. Now, I like my games with a hearty dose of misogyny.
I love how you get that shot right at the beginning.
Oh yeah, the intro is classic. Like your chick is just standing around, and she gets socked right in the and then game begins.
See, that is the best setup for game ever. Chick on street, chick get beat, you come out on street, game begins.
So, Justific, why shouldn't I buy this game?
Because it's the arcade Double Dragon. Lame. Now, I don't know about you guys, I was brought up on the golden age of gaming, which was the Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's right, baby.
Now, Nintendo Entertainment System had Double Dragon, and it was awesome. And then I never played it in the arcades, and So imagine Blake Buck's or Justin Fick's dismay when they download Double Dragon XBLA and find out that it's not the good old NES Double Dragon, but the arcade Double Dragon.
Thumbs down. I've got to represent here, and I have to say, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, and I'm going to preface this by saying, if you're not going to do it all, you don't do it at all. I'm a slightly more senior member of the podcast here today, and I actually remember when the original Double Dragon in the arcade was released, my lunch money was shaken down, and then the school bullies took my lunch money and played Double Dragon. So this game stopped me from getting a good beating. I've got to say, I just look back at these kind of games. I wouldn't pay money for them now. I mean, I would give it a thumbs down just purely in terms of paying money for it. But you've got to look at the arcade version in a kind of misty-eyed way. And I know a majority of the podcast listeners were not born, conceived, or even their parents, perhaps, when the original Double Dragon came out. But, you know, this is part of gaming history, and it needs some degree of respect. Now, how much is it on the XBLA?
$5.
$5.
Yeah, you see, that's borderline the amount I'd want to pay to reminisce.
That's true.
Now, see, but this is the thing, though. It's like, you grow up on the golden age of gaming, which is the NES, and you're playing games like Contra, and you're playing games like Double Dragon, and you download them on XBLA, and you get the arcade versions, and it's a letdown. Because you know what? Nintendo made all those games better.
No.
Every
no,
last one of them. No. Like, arcade Contra, NES Contra, thumbs up.
It's interesting to think about, like, you know, a large portion of the population doesn't get the nostalgia factor that they might if they had ported the NES version, you know? Like, and maybe some people do have more nostalgia for the arcade version. So, like, I mean, they can't release two versions for the two different, you know, demographics of the game. How would you have handled it, Justin Fick? Should they have had, like, two modes or something?
One mode, and then Nintendo Virtual Console releases the good version, and I buy that one.
I played this in a bowling alley, enough said.
So, Justin Fick, since you want to play it so bad on your NES, I hear there's a device that might be able to help you, son.
You know what, Blake Buck, there is, and I'm glad you asked. I recently bought what is called the R4. The R4 is a flash cart for your Nintendo DS. Now, let me tell you, this thing makes me happy in my like I bought this online. Basically, it's a flash cart, goes in your Nintendo DS. It's a slot one device, which means that it's the size of a DS tape, and it has a little slot in there for a micro SD card. Now, on this SD card, you stick Homebrew software, and you plug it into your DS, and your DS basically runs Homebrew apps. Now, this is like the coolest thing that's ever happened to my DS since, I don't know, Japanese hentai import games. Like, the R4 comes with everything you need to get started. So there's no, like, firmware updates. There's no, you know, device flashing, no downgrades, no nothing. You get your card, you plug it in, and it comes with a micro SD card reader, plug it into your computer. You drag and drop all this heat onto this little mini SD card, this micro SD card, plug it into your flash cart in the DS, and it just goes. So I've got like all kinds of heat on this thing. This is like NES emulators, SNES emulators. There's the Scum Virtual Machine, which plays like the Monkey Island, Indiana Jones games. I got Doom, Drug Wars. I mean, it's dead simple to set up. It comes with everything you need except the micro SD card, and you can buy those for like $10 on Newegg. You know, the only downside to the installation is that the heat that you need to put on your micro SD card comes on a mini CD. So if you're like me and you're on an Apple laptop, slot loading CD-ROM ain't gonna cut it. So you need a different kind of CD-ROM drive.
You're gonna have to go to the library or steal your roommate's computer.
So it's like, and the homebrew scene in the DS is head and shoulders above the homebrew scene in the PSP. I mean, like if you were to make a metaphor about it, like DS homebrew is like the scholar athlete of the senior class. Like he's got perfect grades, he's got massive pectoral muscles, and all the girls love him.
Justin Fick, that is not a metaphor for the BDP listening public. The high school jock is the metaphor.
Tom Barbalay, I got a better one. PSP to compare and contrast is the feral child that lives in the closet for the first 18 years of his life, and he only comes out to eat bread and water, recite Bible phrases, and have the family dog. That's PSP homebrew scene.
Now look, I will not have you talk about Ben Buck that way on this show.
Like, but DS Homebrew has, like, all this cool stuff. It has, like, a PDA application. It has, like, organizers. It has, like, a music tracker. It has a paint program that saves your SD card. PSP has jack. It has nothing, ever. Someone writes a homebrew, and Sony's like, oh, my God, we have to slap this around with our enormous and it's gone. It's no more homebrew. It's done. Firmware upgrade. It's over. No more homebrew. DS Homebrew. Thumbs up.
Well, look, just Vic, I'm sold on this thing. I'm gonna be going tonight and order me one of these pieces of heat.
Definitely.
I gotta get my Monkey Island.
Now, I gotta say, I bought this heat. All this together for me was like $65 and then $5 shipping and handling. And you can get this. You can get the cart for $40, and then you can get an SD card on Newegg for $10. So that's a savings.
The savings.
The speed.
Yeah, the speed. And speaking of speed, the SNES emulator on DS blows a PSP away. No question. Full speed, Gradius 3.
What speed are we talking?
Whoa.
Dude, the speed. It's unbelievable.
Wait, is it full speed on all games or what?
Pretty much. Like, the compatibility is still sort of low. And then there's still a lot of, like, graphical glitches and sound glitches. Like, the music kind of is cracky and poppy. But I was running Gradius 3 full speed. I was running ActRaiser full speed. So, good. It's heat.
I remember I had an emulator for, a homebrew emulator for Dreamcast called the Dream SNES. And it was good. It had high compatibility, but it only had, like, 80% emulation speed, which is just enough suckage to not want to play it.
Now, speaking of suckage, I will have all the listeners know that all BDP listeners own all these games and are playing these for backup and backup purposes only as accordance with FBI federal law. Blam.
That's right.
Yeah.
If anybody, I mean anybody, even mentions ROMs on this show, you're going to jail. Justin Fick, I'm going to have to send you a cease and desist right now.
That'll be number two, cease and desist. We got one for our logo. We're already on their bad side right now.
Wait, help me remind time with people to do the two important things, to vote in Podcast Alley as I watch a cockroach crawl across the floor, and also the Cafe Press Door. Have we talked about either of those things yet on this show?
I don't think we have. Tom, take it away.
Look, it is about time that we saw Blake Buck naked. I'm sick of waiting. It's taken too long. All you lowly, pathetic listeners that we serve week in, week out with this kind of heat. And you know I'm part of the crew. I do the editing.
It's true.
You need to vote at Podcast Alley. You need to get in there and show these schmucks, these clowns, and they are professional clowns, exactly who's boss, and make BDPE not in the top 10. We want BDPE number one. So get there, vote. And Mr. Buck, he's still wearing the shirt from New York City. You've seen it already in the video. That shirt has got to come off. We want it now.
Yeah, now see it. Now see it on his carpet.
It's got to come off.
Look, son. That's my fancy shirt.
Free Talk Live. We're looking at
definitely.
You. We got to beat the Libertarian podcast, guys. Come on now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's time for the jank.
Oh, wait. No, it's not time for the jank yet. I have a second part to follow up, and I'm sorry. I was being a little prosaic here, but when we were speaking of shirts, we need to also point out that the BDPE store is now open. CafePress.com/BDPE, home of the janked BDPE logo. You know, folks, there is one shirt and one shirt alone with the BDPE logo. It has Blake Buck's on the front of it, and guess who it's owned by? Guess who it's owned by, ladies and gentlemen? Mrs. Barbalay.
Now, wait a minute. She, like, wears this outdoors.
Oh, look, you've got to understand. You've got to understand. Mrs. Barbalay is Blake Buck's... And Mr. Barbalay is Mrs. Barbalay's. That's the order of the currently.
Look, I want to see a photo of Mrs. Barbalay in the Blake Buck shirt.
It's a now look. I need to say this, and I may have to censor it, but it is a very shirt.
Oh.
Mr. Barbalay ordered it especially to specific requirements, so it would be exceptionally. So maybe it might be seen in the future in the feed, but I just like to see speculation with regards to Mrs. Barbalay. I like to keep her a little bit mysterious.
She is mysterious. I don't know what she has an obsession.
So am I to understand that the Barbalay family has a Blake Buck fetish?
Look, when I told Mrs. Barbalay that I was going to be appearing on the podcast, I told her that I was not going to in any way talk about that matter. So we are just going to leave that. I'm not saying anything about any fetishes that may or may not be present. And this will all be heavily buzzer-exed, so it will all seem rather innocent.
You know what she finds attractive about me? She finds my roundness attractive.
No, here's what it is. Here's what it is. It's geometric contrast, all right? Blake Buck is a very round person, but his head is very, very square. And I think...
Now, wait a minute.
That's where his sexual energy derives from. It's this battle of shapes. It's this spatial tension.
Gravitas.
Yes.
Blake Buck does not have a square head. Many people I've known have suggested that I have a cubular-shaped head. I do not believe this to be the truth. You look at face.jpg, what do you see? You see f***ing beauty.
Well, see, that doesn't count because your mouth is open. See, what we need is a profile shot of Blake Buck and then a front shot of Blake Buck, just in normal sedentary mode, and then we can prove. We can extrapolate the exact geometric composition of your face.
Now, I have done this, William Miller, because if you look at Blake Buck's Facebook photo where he's staring at the stove, you actually get to see his cranium side on. And I need to point out to the listeners that every photograph of Blake Buck I have ever seen gives me just a little bit more of a window onto the man himself. But there is one particular photo in the interview with Blake Buck where he's wearing a shirt and podcasting, and he actually looks normal in that photo. So whenever I think of Blake Buck, rather than all the various abnormal photos, all the other photos I've seen of him, I think of that photo of him podcasting, and I think, I'm corresponding with a normal dude.
Man, that photo of Blake Buck looking at my stove is probably one of the most telling photographs of Blake Buck I've ever seen in my life.
It gives the full dimension to the man.
That was, he was staying in my house, right?
This is when I was homeless.
Yeah, he was homeless, so he stayed in my house. I was away in Savannah. I was actually watching this live on a video conference, which is how...
Blake Buck trying to cook noodles.
Yeah, so Blake Buck, he gets online, he says, William Miller, how do I cook? And I say, well, Blake Buck, well, what do you want to cook? He says, well, I'd like some macaroni. I said, all right, that's fine. Go grab some out of the cupboard. You know where it is. And he goes and grabs it. And then...
No, I didn't know. You had to show me. I brought the box with me, the video conference, and I point.
So it takes... No, it takes Blake Buck, no shit, like 10 minutes to open the box. You know, it's got the little... It's got the little serrated triangle on the corner of the box. So he pokes that in.
I tore that. That was gone.
No, you listen to me. No, this is not how it went. You poke the little hole in it. You say, William Miller, how do you get this big packet of cheese through this little hole? That's what you said to me. I remember distinctly. And I said, Blake Buck, you tear the box. What's wrong with you, son? And then he's...
I can't tear the box. I'm going to have noodles all over myself if I try and tear the box.
And then he stares at the pot while it's cooking, thinking he's going to speed it up. And that's what the picture is.
Now I have a question for Blake Buck.
Yes, sir.
And I know all other Blake Buck dimensions bar your height. How tall are you?
You know, I don't know. I would say maybe, William Miller, how tall are you?
I'm about 5'11".
Yeah, I'm about 5'10", somewhere around there.
Yeah, Blake Buck's about my height.
Yeah, I'm about William Miller. That sounds about right. But I mean, there are other parts of me that are much, much bigger. That was for you, Mrs. Barbalay. And with that, it's time for the jank.
You are, of course, talking about your small intestines.
or both chambers of his stomach.
Tom Barbalay, I hear you got a jank for us this week.
Whilst I was looking at overpriced DS games, I was wandering through a local outlet mall. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I found the CD for BDP listeners. Now, cast your minds back a couple of episodes ago, which is about, I guess, 4 or 5 months, and you will remember a song that was being played in the background to a particular video clip which involved the eating of chips. And I found the CD that it's on at my local outlet mall for $16.
Oh. You're talking about those mo money boys.
No, I'm talking about the video that appeared, but these are the Cash Money boys from Cash Money Records. It's like Father Like Son, Birdman and Little Wayne, a number of slamming tracks on there. I thankfully got the uncensored version, as all podcast listeners want to get uncensored versions. So that's my jank for the week, $16. I recommend it.
Showing my opponent.
Blake Bug, is it time to get those Mo Money boys again?
What does he say after that? I can't remember. Oh, they were at Sugar's Garage.
He says, like, dog pound, and he has two euphemisms for the...
Come on, Sugar Man, you know it's time to roll, dog pound.
That's it, Sugar Man and dog pound in the same sentence. Amazing. It's genius.
I love Sugar Man. What is your nickname? Sugar Man.
Dude, I like dog pound. That's my favorite. What are you talking about?
Dude, we need to think up other nicknames to call each other that are just, like, nouns. Or places like dog pound.
Dude, my nickname is now Outlet Mall.
William Miller's nickname is Taco Hut.
Taco Hut.
I'm waiting to be baptized, Blake Buck. Come on, give me your best.
All right, what's Tom Barbalay? Look, he's just ears. That's his name.
Coming to a BDP shirt in the very near future.
Oh, man. I love it.
Now, all right. Well, speaking of jank of the week, I got an anecdotal jank. Now, Justin Fick is starting to clean out some old up in his place. So Justin Fick went to his local GameStop and returned NBA Live 2K6, College Hoops 2K6, and Scourge Hive. Now, if you recall, NBA Live 2K6 and College Hoops 2K6 only got it for the achievement points. Got them. Done. Scourge Hive sucks. Thumbs down. So, clean them out. So, I brought them back to GameStop. So, I was like, how much do I get for these? How much do I get for these three games? And the dude's like, dude, $4.50.
Wait, is that per tape, Justin Fick?
That's all together.
Whoa, wait a minute now.
So, Justin Fick brought back 2 360 games and a DS game for $4.50. And out of there, all I could think was, suckers. So I got jank of the week. I got pizza with that, and it was worth it.
So I've got a little bit to put in the feed, and I have emailed Justin Fick and William Miller on this in the past, but Blake Bucks GameStop, I was thinking the fourth interview for the feed was to interview a GameStop employee at Blake Bucks local GameStop.
Dude, that's just hate me so much. Look at all the scratches on that disc, son. Come on, I know you got another one back there. Let me see, come on, yeah, just bring them all out. Put all the tapes, and I'll pick the one I want. You put them all on the counter here.
And then they got to go back and shrink wrap it.
But there's like 45 of them. Come on!
Well, funnily enough, look, I want to just explain the levels that I went to with regards to this. I found one of Blake Bucks local GameStop employees' MySpace pages.
Oh, man.
And I investigated this fellow with the potential to interview him on the podcast, but unfortunately, he was just too much of a loser. So I just could not get into his head. I thought, how am I going to work out an approach with this guy? So unfortunately, that he is just never going to make it to the feed. However, if you're interested, Google Oxford, Mississippi GameStop, you will find the guy's MySpace page. Thoroughly interesting, if you want to know the kind of psychos Blake Buck is dealing with on a regular basis.
What was his name? Which one was he?
Now you're really testing me.
Was it Philip?
No, I don't think so.
I'm about to say Philip. I'm going to cut him. And with that, it's time for feedback.
You're going to cut him. I like that. That's Blake Buck's default retaliation. Cut.
All right, guys. Voicemail this week. We got no voicemails. What the flying dungeon dice backer? I don't even know. Why do we never get voicemail? I think we need some sort of contest.
Don't we have some sort of contest?
Well, not a real contest. We just need people to email us or voicemail us more.
Have you forgotten the contest, Blake Buck? Have you forgotten the contest that is currently running?
We're coming up to the contest. In fact, we even got an entry to play on the show.
Oh, very good.
However, I'm just saying, you guys, instead of emailing, send us a voicemail every now and then. We never get voicemails, and they're so much easier because I don't have to copy-paste.
Oh, wait a minute. Blake Buck, did you get the voicemail? There was one voicemail that we had this week that wasn't the contest entry. Did you get it?
No, I guess not.
Oh man, I think it was from I don't know. See, I went and clicked on it, so it didn't say that it was new, which is probably why you didn't get it.
It's an old voicemail. The guy's emailed in the forums, why haven't we played his voicemail? Why haven't we played his voicemail?
It was this dude, and he called in, he was like, BDPE, I'm so f***ing drunk. And then he hangs up. That was it. I mean, we don't actually have to play it, because I just summed it up there, but I just thought that was kind of cute.
Fantastic.
Thanks, whoever that was. Keep doing what you're doing.
Can we stipulate that is actually the perfect kind of voicemail? Because when I edit these shows, long, drawn-out voicemails... Look, one listener, and I won't mention any names here, but one listener sent in an epic 2 voicemails, I think 7 minutes total. I had to switch female to male to make the voicemail listenable. And it was a male voicemail. So 7 minutes of voicemail where I had to switch female to male through my voice synthesis software in order to even make it listenable. No, that's not the way we do things with voicemail on BDPE.
Was that romantic, epic, Brian Crescenti, Luke Plunkett love triangle saga?
It was so high-pitched, and it was also voicemail recorded. This is an important thing. If you want to add voicemail that requires post-production, i.e. you sound like a girl and you need to sound like a boy in the voicemail... Record the voicemail first, attach the voicemail to an email, feedback@bestoutpodcastever.com, and send it on. And I will do post-production on email voicemails that are about 90 seconds long, maybe. But if you record 7 minutes of voicemail and it requires me to transfer your voice from female to male and then from high-pitched male to deep male voice, then it's just wasting my time and it never works, so it's going to get cut.
Tom Barbalay drives a hard bargain.
I'm going to be Buzzer X-ing his name. He is the new of this podcast. He is going to be becoming... Both their names get Buzzer X'd.
He's at least somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, he's entertaining and intelligent on top of that, so...
If only he sounded like a man.
Alright, it's time for email. Somebody take this email.
Alright, we got one from Fat Daddy Mushroom. He says, hey guys, I've never really done any programming and don't know that much about it either, but I've always wanted to do so. So I just wanted to ask if you guys had any suggestions on software, books, or anything else that would help me on my quest to program. Thanks for your help.
It depends largely on what platform you're going to be developing for. If you're developing for Windows, there's a free compiler called DevC++. You want to get books about C++. And then search online for OpenGL tutorials. Nihi has a good one. Now, if you're programming on the Mac, you need to get a razor blade and rake it down your arms.
Oh, come on, Justin Fick.
Look, son. All right, look. he's right. Now, listen. I'm gonna lay it down for you, Fat Daddy Mushroom. You got to go out and you got to get that Visual Studio, C++ Visual Studio. It's free. The Express Edition, DevC++ sucks because it uses GCC. GCC is not nearly as good a compiler as it's not. It's faster, but it's not nearly as good as strict
as
No, come on now. Come on now. GCC lets so much slide.
Of course.
Academic discussion alert.
I was just going to say that I think that DHCP allows for a lot more freedom, too. And if you use TCP/IP and with your RSVP, and then you plug that into a...
RSVP.
You're going to have a really good game.
Okay, you get Visual Studio Express. You get the Red Book, which is the OpenGL programming guide. And you go get C++ Bible, and you learn it, son. Now, if you want to program on the Mac, it's not as bad as Justin Fick makes it sound. Cocoa and Objective-C are very nice programming languages, much more so than, in my opinion, C#. And the runtime is very nice, very easy to make, GUIs and stuff. Code all of your hardcore in C++, wrap it in C# or in Objective-C when you get to the application layer. There. And Nehe, also very good tutorials.
My feeling is you just shut up and program. You don't send emails to Best Damn Podcast Ever. You shut up and program. I mean, you've got to appreciate, as soon as people know that you program, the first question they ask you is, how do I learn to program too? And I just cut to the chase, tell them to shut up and program. That's how they learn to program. They get out there and do it. They don't send emails to Best Damn Podcast Ever. There's so many programming resources out there. Now, back in the day, I used to get emails when I run an open source project that would ask me very basic questions about how they'd learn to program, and I'd go through all the things. That was about 10 years ago. I'm tired with these kind of questions. It's too easy to learn to program. The real question is why you aren't programming now as opposed to sending emails to feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Now listen, here's the thing I'd caution you against. Don't use something that's going to do everything for you. A lot of people make their games with Flash. That's great. If you're going to be a game designer, you want to make your games prototype in Flash. But Flash is come on now. You gotta learn that hardcore computer science stuff. Learn an assembler language. 68K is a really good one. That's the first one I learned. And just get down as low as you can and start from the bottom and work your way up. If you're really interested in like making a game real fast, that might not be the best thing for you to do right away. But like Tom says, just get there and get in there and do it.
Just do it. Okay, Calyx, who writes to us quite frequently, says, "Hey guys, I finally decided to write something for you guys. I did a review of Ligaru to show you my work." Is this a familiar game?
Oh my god, okay. Ligaru is made by...
Dude, Ligaru, David Rosen.
David Rosen. I think we should do a review of David Rosen, the man.
He's been on the show before.
David Rosen's been on the show before, and he is like... He's like a super soldier of game development. Like, that's what... like, he's got the hot pants and, the... and everything. I mean, the guy's amazing.
And the woman on his shoulder.
And the fact that he's a doesn't matter. I've got some heat with regards to David Rosen, because in his interview he mentioned the idea of using land surfaces to grow his various things in a kind of Peter Molyneux-inspired epic. I created that technology back in the day. That's like 11 years ago, copyright Tom Barbalay. This guy's ripping off my on this podcast. So I just want to say, David Rosen, if you're out there and you're really the that these guys claim you to be, email me, tom@nobleape.com. I've got some work for you, mate. Anyway, let's continue on this email, since it's so heavily digressed with regards to this David Rosen.
You know, it sounds like to me, it sounds like battle.
Definitely.
Battle.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sorry, my eyes have got all misty. I've got to continue reading here. It's pretty short, but it's like... So, let's review the feedback here. This Calyx guy has written a review of a game that's relatively short, a game that was talked about on IMG back in the day, but he wants to write a review, and... But all I want to know is whether, and he spells whether wrong, you're interested in having me write for the website. Well, at least you spelled right. Okay. If you'll see, okay, so has anyone seen this Ligaru review that he's written?
I haven't seen it.
I saw it. It was about half a page. It wasn't bad. You know, it was a little short, but other than that, you know, it wasn't so bad. The main problem is that, Calix, you sent it to the wrong person. You send Blake Buck this kind of stuff, he's just going to eat it. You need to send any stuff involving the website, you need to send it to bruce@freeversesoftware.com. And I should have forwarded it months ago, and I just saw it today, and I felt like I didn't forward it to him. But so I'll send it on after the show tonight.
And really, like, we're looking for, we're not looking to see if you can merely review a game. Give us something that's different that we hadn't heard of before. I mean, you know, opinion and analysis and critique, things like that. And are just funny stuff. Like, I mean, the stuff that Bruce puts on the site when he's doing stuff on the site is awesome. Like the reviews of game cover art and the top 10 game intros, although I have some beef with Mr. Bruce Morrison about that.
I have some beef with you, William Miller, about this whole content business.
Battle.
There are these links on the site, and they say things like Miller's blog and Buck's blog. All this kind of stuff. Tom Barley writes a pretty darn decent blog, and quite frankly, there are a number of topics like this David Rosen that Tom Barley could be writing about on a regular basis. Now, how many days ago did I email you, William Miller, about putting the Barley blog online?
Look, baby, look, it'll get done. Wee Miller, he's pretty...
Look, I love Wee Miller's response. Look, baby, look.
All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. We use movable type as our back end for the site, and movable type is hanging on by a thread. Like, if I look at that thing wrong, it's going to break. And I'm afraid to change anything in that setup.
You know what we need? You know what we need? As we have a Justin Fick, like, unsavory content warning, we need a William Miller rambling excuse warning that kind of gets played with regards to this kind of stuff.
Well, the warning is, look, baby, it's going to get done. That's all you need. I mean, anything after that is...
Look, William Miller. I finished my BDPE and NYC video.
We need one for Blake Buck too. Now, come on now.
Look, you guys better be ready.
No, that's the preamble for Blake Buck. You guys better be ready. That's when you know it's going to be 2 or 3 months from now.
Look, I've got a new video segment coming up, and it's going to be called Treasured Memories with Blake Buck.
We both created this together. Now, can't take all credit for it. Fireside Chats with Blake Buck.
This is true.
Look, you even shot it with my lens. Or you will, I guess.
Dude, that lens didn't fit. I'm going to have to glue it.
Moving on. Oh, my God. All right. Brian C. says, has anybody else noticed that Blake Buck trying to figure out game sounds like a... Figuring out a game sounds a lot like a bad psychic reading. I see a bicycle. It's somewhere else, somewhere far away, the Alamo in the basement. I guess he's talking about Stump Buck?
Yeah, he's talking about Stump.
And he's referencing, what is it? Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Points for that, by the way. The game is Paperboy.
Paperboy. No, it's Custer's Revenge. It's in the Alamo.
But instead of bicycle, it's a...
Email here from L. Spuddy. He says, hi guys, just a quick email to say you need Ben Buck Double B on your podcast more. Episode 19 was so funny I nearly fell off my bike laughing and almost hit a truck. Dude, how awesome would that be? L. Spuddy gets hit by a truck.
He's the heavy drinker from the previous podcast.
Blake Buck, do you remember Truck Turner? Tom Barbalay, play the Truck Turner theme song, go.
No, that's the Blake Buck theme song.
Do I have to be buying more stuff from iTunes to fill this podcast?
No, we'll give it to you, don't worry.
Thank you very much. That's a bit beyond my budget, you know, one song a year, I think.
Also, thanks for reminding me about the Dreamcast. My local game station has... I guess that's something in Europe. Game station. What madness. Had GTA 1 on Dreamcast and their pre-owned shelves, which I must buy because that game has lots of fun. Shoot stuff, me, blah, blah, blah. It's also... If you also do another show... I can't read. You're going to have to capitalize or something. If you do another show soon, can you wish me a happy 31st birthday on May 5th? Oh, no! It's in the past. Well, happy belated birthday, Else Buddy. And will you send me a slice of cake? I already ate the cake. So thank you so much, Else Buddy, for the email. Oh, and he has a stump for us, Weird Dreams. Do you mind know what that is?
I have those a lot.
I think they're made of this. Two of the mind to disagree, travel the world in the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.
And I'm not buying that in iTunes. It's not being bought.
Dude, just get the Marilyn Manson version.
Shot C, go.
Hey, BDPE, I'll make this short. Either curse or don't curse. The game show sound effect that is used post-recording is super annoying.
That's Buzzer X.
I'm going to read this to the end. I'm going to give him the opportunity to say what he needs to say.
All right.
Let's do it this way. I think it's probably more civilized. It's much louder than necessary and ruins the fun. A show or two back, entire jokes were lost. I can understand that this is a video game podcast and that you're possibly trying to keep it clean for the kids. The same ones on Second Life. Perhaps since you're adding the bleeps after the fact, you can just publish it untouched, explicit version for the adults and a PG-13 version for the kids. I really like the podcast. You guys are fun to listen to, and I get a lot out of it, which is why I care enough to write. Oh. Thanks for putting it out there. I hope you guys don't mind a little judgment. Oh, how cute. Spoon. What is Spoon some...
That's the tick.
That's gonna be the tick. Come on now. That's the tick. It's the tick's battle cry. Spoon!
Oh, okay. My apologies. I just couldn't do that in a nice voice. Does someone want to start on this, or should I continue?
No, we're gonna let you handle this, Tom.
It's all yours.
Let me start in the beginning. When I came to edit this podcast, there were a series of sounds that had to go into the podcast. Now, as you may know from my voice, I have lived in many different places, quite a few over the past 10 years, and there's a wide variety of censorship that I employ on a regular basis with regards to the podcast. That being said, if any of you want to talk with regards to this kind of and I'm talking about and all the other things that William Miller talked about prior to this podcast in some strange then, by all means, write in, and you will be censored. There will be Buzzer X-ing, because no one needs to know what happened to William Miller in the no one but those of us that were on the podcast prior to the start. Oh, and I have something else to say. Because really, these kind of that are sending an email, I got no time for these. They just need to just get their themselves. Because quite frankly, all this talking and all this talking and all this kind of stuff, that's what made BDP great. It's just all about the It's just all about the So just get down right to feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com and it'll all be cleaned out with Buzzer X's.
Tom Barbalay, I don't think we own that domain name.
We should.
So if you want to buy B. Blake books, by all means buy t-shirts, particularly white t-shirts, which may be censored in the future, from cafepress.com/BDP and enjoy yourselves. But don't be writing these kind of emails in, because quite frankly, I can't find the cuss words to use to refer to this Sean C., if that is your real name. I'm sure the C's for that's what his name is, Sean.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Tom. Sean, we're so sorry.
Who are you? What have you done with Tom Barbalay?
Oh my.
Oh my. Well, it's...
I'm speechless.
I'm speechless as well. You know, the Buzzer X is that game show sound effect, Buzzer X, son, is part of the mystique of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. If you don't like it, well, we might release an unedited version at some point, but...
A cuss reel of the best cuss clips that have ever appeared. Maybe on the paid-for heat, whenever that's created.
Yeah, maybe on the paid-for heat, you can hear about what happened to William Miller and the...
Oh, yeah.
I told him to stop, but he just wouldn't stop!
It confirms many beliefs already held by listeners to this podcast. So.
And it wasn't the first time.
No, it wasn't.
I like to tease. No. I like to tease. All right. We got an email from Mark G., a.k.a. Princess Peach. He says, RedOctane.com store Guitar Hero 2 360 version for $90 with the free t-shirt in stock and shipping right now. So if you're hurting for Guitar Hero 2, best place to get it is redoctane.com. So thanks from Mark G, a.k.a. Princess Peach.
Of course, you could just impersonate Blake Buck and then get a series of free t-shirts.
This is true.
All right, he's got this last one.
Oh, maybe I should read this. Because, as incorrectly reported in a previous podcast, it appears that the IMG podcast has not, in fact, died. I was contacted earlier this week by Peachy, who's normally quite a reasonable person, and he asked me to create an IMG intro, and probably an outro as well. So, Peachy, I'm talking to you. I won't read the parts of the email because it's all nonsense. Donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. Send a certain amount of money there, and based on the amount of money that you send to bestdamnpodcastever, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. I will do the little sound effect for the IMG intro for you, and the outro as well.
It just needs to be us talking about how much their show sucks. That's your intro.
Yeah, that's if you don't donate enough, Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick will end up doing the intro, and you don't want that.
No, you don't want that at all.
Hey, y'all, it's the Inside Mac Games podcast. It's real good.
That was too polite, Blake Buck. You need to work on that a bit more.
We love us on Mac Gaming.
And with that, it's time for the contest. Now, Tom Barbalay, you stipulated that we have a contest involving who could mimic Blake Buck the best.
Can I just point out that I was extraordinarily disappointed that the listening audience of the Best Damn Podcast Ever was not reminded of this contest last episode.
I know, we kept forgetting.
How can you forget, Blake Buck? This contest was made for you.
Well, look, I'm just... look, I can't think of anything clever. I'm too beautiful to remember, okay?
That may work for William Miller, but that will not work for you, Blake Buck.
Look, I had that problem saying, just like William Miller has. So, we got one entry this week from Calyx, and I'm going to play it for you now.
Why is it spinning so fast? It's on the ground. Look at this.
Okay, so I don't have to add that to the feed. Can someone please impersonate what Calyx entered in as his contest entry so I will not have to copy and paste that into the audio feed? William Miller, go.
I just heard the first part, which, I don't know.
Blake Buck, can you impersonate it?
Blake Buck has a noise he makes when he's thinking, which he tried to replicate there, but he didn't quite get the nuance with it. It's a... That's the noise you're looking for. And his was more like a... Not quite the same. And then he said something, but the sound quality was poor. I couldn't even hear what you were saying, son. Thumbs down. Calyx, you get a gold star for effort, I couldn't even hear what you were saying. So other than sounding dumb, you totally missed the Blake Buck mystique.
See, but here's the thing. If we don't get more entries, Calyx wins by default. So get them entries in.
No, 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 Justin Fett. This isn't even $50. You don't be setting the entry criteria here. Calyx doesn't win until he sends in a good entry. Now, if Calyx wants to send in a good entry, he will get $50 of Cafe Press prizes. But if Calyx keeps that entry in there, I think this is going to roll over into another contest.
So, guys, give us your best Blake Buck impersonation. In fact, last time I got William Miller to give me an impersonation, I think Tom Barbalay should give an impersonation of Blake Buck right now.
I think that's awesome. That's my favorite Blake Buck impersonation, or whatever. Something about is always good. Let me think. It's always been my favorite.
So yeah, just send your entries in. $50 worth of Cafe Press material from our store. I mean, that's a savings right there. So. Yeah, send your entries in, and as soon as we get one good enough,
Tom Bubbly will pay out.
So yeah, keep those entries in, and the next few weeks, we'll decide the winner.
It's time for the stump.
All right, my game today is called Ball.
Ball?
B-A-A-L, or Bale.
Dude, Diablo 2.
No, baby.
Expansion back.
No, baby.
Dude, that's a throne of Bale, baby. He's like the fourth minion of hell.
No, baby.
Give some runes. My code gems, look. Rings, heats.
Look, son, no, this thing was, this is by the same dudes that made Shadow of the Beast, if you ever played that game. I forget who actually made this game, but anyway, it was a game for DOS and Amiga back in the day. It came out, I think, 1988, 1989, something like that. Anyway, you were the Time Warrior, and you were sent back to hell to get pieces of the War Machine, which was stolen by Bale.
Dude, is this the same people that made Spellforce 2 Dragonstorm?
Fight Force?
Look, Fight Force.
Dude, that game sucked. Thumbs down. Look, Wee Miller, you can pick some Ubuntube RPG any day of the week. You gotta come up with good stumps, son.
Look, baby, DOS.
The best stumps are the ones that I should know, but don't.
Look, you didn't know Commander Keen, Blake Buck.
That was like Dragon Ball Z or something, right? He's like level 10 Super Saiyan.
Uh-huh.
Just fit, go!
All right, my stump this week, fellas, is called Immortal.
Immortal. I don't know what this game is, but it seems like it was like an arcade game, and it had like some flyer art that was like, you know, you ever see those arcade flyers from the mid-80s where it's like, it looks like it was shot in the back of some trailer, and it's got the 80s girl, and she's in like a robe, and it says Immortal in like cryptic font at the top, and she's got like a scepter and there's fog on the ground.
I like trailer. I want one of those.
That's where you shoot. Trailer. It's got leftover sets from, like, you know, Bay 5.
Dude, all the Force movies were shot in the trailer. Force 1 through 5.
Bongo Fiesta.
That was shot in the trailer.
It is the Buzzer X episode.
So anyway, Immortal was actually a very original game for the NES towards the end of its life cycle. And it's ironic because you hear the name Immortal and you think, I don't know, like the Highlander never dies, you know, lives forever. But in reality, the Immortal is about a game, you're a wizard that dies every 5 seconds.
What?
Like, it's like isometric view. You get a wizard and there's like the first room, there's three things you can inspect. And every one of them kills you. Go to the whole blam. Worm comes out of nowhere and f***ing eats you, and you're dead. Everything in this game kills you in 5 seconds, and there's no avoiding it. Game sucks. Thumbs down.
Lame.
So, Simon and Aaron, my roommates, they play this game called Screaming Children.
Is that Second Life?
No.
Are they playing Second Life, William Miller, and saying it's called Screaming Children?
No, that's Second Life is Screaming Children's spiritual successor. No, Screaming Children is this arcade game that I think came out in Japan, and it's a multiplayer game, it's a platformer, but literally the game is designed such that you die like every 3 or 4 seconds. In fact, dying is like the mechanic in the game, and it's just designed to eat up quarters, and every time you die, the kid screams, so they call it the Screaming Children game. It's ridiculous.
Dude, speaking of that, I downloaded the Mario Forever ROM because Yagi posted that video in the forums of that Mario ROM hack where the dude was dying like every 3 seconds. I got that ROM. I'm dying every 3 seconds. But I can't stop playing.
You gotta beat it. You gotta beat it, Justific.
So is it my turn for stump?
Go.
Well, following Blake Buck's guessing of the only game that William Miller ever made last episode, I was going to put Schmuck Quest in the feed. However, I think I will go instead with Shadowgate.
Oh, snap.
No, I know Shadowgate.
You gotta...
Come
look,
on now.
Your torch has gone out. You stumble in the hallway, break your leg, and die like a crying. Game over.
Then let me flip my stump. Let me flip my stump and say Schmuck Quest.
Sounds like a game that Mr. Tom Barbalay made back in the day. Blam!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get my Jeopardy points! I get my Jeopardy points, baby! You can't stop the fake, baby!
That doesn't cut it. You've got to name at least 2 characters in Schmuck Quest. Go.
Dude, Schmuck and Quest! I know my baby!
This can only get lamer. I'll just let Blake Buck do his.
Alright, Schmuck Quest, obviously, you play podcasters, and and you can't get any listeners. You gotta go on the internet and scour listeners, but everybody calls you a and a schmuck on the internet, And you never get everybody loses at this game.
That's about it. I think we might leave it with Blake Burt's version, and when Schmuck Quest Deluxe comes out, it will be Blake Burt's version, appearing on the BDP game label. Now, that's going to be coming very soon.
Very, very soon.
Whoa.
All right, well, my heat for you, guys. Now, there's no way you're going to get this. It's not that obscure of a title, but I know, you're just not going to get it. I hope you're ready. Hold on to your... My game for you, Red Alarm.
Dude, Red Alarm is a sequel to Command & Conquer where you're Einstein, you go back in time to kill Hitler, blam, done.
Wait, Miller, you got any guesses?
That's it. I'm sticking to it.
All right, you guys suck. Red Alarm is not my favorite flavor of hot sauce. That's what I thought you guys would say. No, Red Alarm is a Virtual Boy game that had featured vector graphics.
Hence red.
That's right. And you drove down, it was kind of like Star Fox, you drove down hallway. And you shot at dudes, and it was 3D, and it was one of at least, if nothing else, it was the most visually impressive Virtual Boy game ever released, because it was like a full 3D environment. So, way cool, Red Alarm. If you got a Virtual Boy, you probably already own it. If not, go pick it up on eBay.
Now, Justin Fick didn't quite get the hot sauce part, because Justin Fick, personally, on the level of hot sauces, is somewhere between White Maggot and Pink.
Grade school, Blake Buck liked to entertain his peers by eating as much hot sauce as possible. Since then, I have blown out my taste buds and can only taste the strongest of hot sauces now.
Blake Buck, I understand you had a pretty intense meal before the podcast.
Blake Buck had steak?
No. Blake Buck steaked. Steak is now a verb on this podcast.
Steak is a verb.
Excuse me, I want to go steak.
Blake Buck's favorite part of the... It was a good steak, but the problem with it, there was too much meat and not enough fat. Blake Buck loves steak fat. Marinated steak fat. My second favorite food after pizza.
Now, I hope this is rare steak there, Blake Buck.
Oh, it was red as hell. Bloody as hell. Isn't that the line from Pulp Fiction?
Nice. Bloody as hell.
And now it's time for the outro. Should I do it fast? I want to do it fast again. I feel like we should get that classic flavor coming back into the show.
It's number 20. You got to do a Blake Buck for number 20.
There we go. And this is going to sound like on this new mic. You better be
Don't
ready.
Say Matt Gaming, Blake Buck.
Dude, say Matt Gaming.
No.
Do it.
All right, let's do this one. You get classic video games. What do you think about that?
Bravo. Bravo.
Dude, the micro machines just exploded.
So if you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. You can also call our ill-used listener line. In fact, don't even send anything to feedback at Best Damn Podcast Ever. You better send all your heat to 845-BATTLE-9, our seldom-used listener line. Also, if you'd like to send any PayPal donations... Games. If you'd like to send any PayPal donations... if you like to say anything, you guys are f***ing me up. I gotta do this, alright? I gotta do this every show. That's why it's in bold on the wiki. But don't do it. People yell at me. So send your donations to donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Also, vote for us at Podcast Alley. We'd like to thank our importer, Tom Barbelay, for doing all our audio work and being such a fantastic guest.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wait, who's clapping? Are you clapping for yourself?
I was initially getting the cat litter off my hands, but no, that was actually someone else clapping.
No, it was me. Dude, that was Justin Fick showing his appraisal.
Can I give the secret anecdote with regards to why I'm recording it in amongst cat litter? Is this worth telling at the end of the show, or should it just be saved?
Well, why is that?
Let's hear it.
Because there are multitudes of screaming children outside, and the only room I could find that was remotely soundproofed... It's also the cat's bathroom.
Dude, that's why you take fire hose to children.
Why is one of your bathrooms the cat's bathroom? I don't understand.
You need to meet our cat. I will be sending you a photograph. You can insert it in the feed.
All right. I'd also like to thank my main dog on the Xbox 3 Sizzle, Woozy Mantis. This is one of our listeners. Remember, guys, you can always find me. I'm Blake Buck on Xbox 360. That's my gamer tag. Blake Buck, all caps, no space.
Do you have one friend, Blake Buck? Do you have one friend other than William Miller? Is this what you're admitting here on the podcast?
Blake Buck has 25 friends. All right. Yeah, I'm big pimpin'.
Wayne Miller doesn't have an Xbox? Come on, baby.
So you're the friend in reality as opposed to the Xbox friend.
Look, if I were on Xbox, Blake Buck would indeed only have one friend, because that is how it is. There can be only one.
You would kill them off.
So usually I don't play with listeners. Like, I'll add listeners. Like, oh, Blake Buck, add me. I'll add him. I play with my man Woozy Mantis, and we've had a blast. I've never had so much fun playing Gears of War, so... Hats off to Woozy Mantis and all of his crew. And if you guys ever want to add Blake Buck to your friends list, it's Blake Buck, all caps, no space. That's also the name of my autobiography. Blake Buck, all caps, no space. Also, don't forget about the contest, Impersonate Blake Buck. We're still taking entries, so get them in either on the voicemail line or email a MP3 to us. And watch the feed for our incoming video heat. We've got some Blake Buck... treasured memories coming soon.
We have a William Miller interview coming up soon as well.
Oh, that's right.
Although he doesn't reveal the secrets of what went on in the... It is still a very interesting interview. And it will feature multiple Buzzer X's as well. Unlike Justin Fix, who minimized the cussing, unfortunately. Indeed. Very disappointed, Justin Fix.
Dude, I was pretty tame. I don't know what was wrong with me. I had the flu.
You see, normally when I get to Stump, I just open up the Buzzer X sound when I do the editing, because I know it's going to be coming. Justin Fick has to cuss in the Stump. It's just like, it's, you know, a natural law that there has to be at least some cussing in the Stump. But I was very disappointed with the Justin Fick interview. Very disappointed. Lack of cussing.
The Fick abides.
Lack of cussing.
Dude, I had flu. Flu!
All right, well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Taco Hut.
I am Outlet Mall.
I am the...
Listen, your ears, because you do the show.
Ears and the... In that order.
Battle.
And we'll see you next time.
Blake Buck, did I tell you about another... You thought you were the only one. No, there's another. Oh, this actually happened a couple weeks ago. Like, so whenever we go out drinking, right, we go with Kendrick, he always takes us to all the... Like, there's nothing we can do about it. That's just how it happens. So we go to... Which is like the big... It's the big... in Savannah, I guess. So we sit through a couple... We get pretty drunk. It's pretty fun. This is the one where it... performs from a... It's the night's winding down, you know, Kendrick and I have been dancing or whatever, and Aaron's with us, so Kendrick and I are out dancing. No, it's like a club. You're just dancing. You don't dance with, you dance with everybody. Alright, so anyway, we're up here dancing, and Aaron, you don't dance, so he's sitting at the bar. So this comes over to Aaron and starts chatting him up, and we see, you know, me and Kendrick see it, you know, we're his wingmen, right, so we've got to go save him. And like buys us drinks, and so we talked for a little while, and then it's up to leave, right? And you know, it's not that big of a deal. You give somebody before you leave or whatever. So this Aaron, this Kendrick, and then like with Wayne Miller, leave once, right? And then I go into shock, dude. Let's get it straight. So then there was that one, and then number two, try to introduce him into the equation. But we really weren't having that. It was pretty gross. No, tried. I blocked. Well, I just want to tell you this. No, but I just want to make you jealous, Blake Buck.